Well, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this evening and pray, Father, that your word goes out and does not come back void. Lord, that you do use me as your instrument, Father, to give the message that you have given me a couple weeks ago, that the love of unity in the midst of diversity can bring one purpose among all of us. For there's one Spirit, one God, and the Spirit works all things all together in one as one. So, Father, bless this time, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I gave this message at the potluck about 3 weeks ago, and it's a message that I chose unity and diversity because it's something that really spoke to my heart. It was something that in the past 6 or 7 months that I saw happening within the church here, within our church body, that I've experienced. And let's go to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, and we'll talk about the scriptures that spoke to me. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so far away.
I can sit in a pew. I don't mind.
Yeah, okay. You're closer.
Okay. So, if you go to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4, we're going to read verse 4 through 11. And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that's really the basis of the Lord giving me these scriptures, actually earlier this year. The reason being is gifts vary from person to person. Each one has a gift, whether you know it or not. And this is one chapter within scriptures that talks about gifts. The other chapter is Romans 12. If you want to go there, we'll go through that and read off the gifts that are mentioned in that particular book. So chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. So it reads, "For I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one body, actually members of one another. Having then the gifts differing from grace that is given to us, let us use them." And it talks about a gift of prophecy, ministry, talks about teaching, exhortation, the gift of giving, leadership, and also showing of mercy. So there's several gifts here. But the one common denominator, the one common thing that we all have gifts, the one that drives everything together is God. There's one God among us all. There's one Christ. There's one Spirit. And God is the source of the giver of all these gifts. And it's God who distributes these gifts among us all. And you'll see this. I've seen it, like I said, in the past 6 or 7 months, because I'll tell you my experience as far as being able to have the opportunity to lead the choir. And those gifts are actually how those gifts work out, as it says here in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these gifts. So the Spirit actually works these gifts together into one, for one purpose. So we'll go into that. So I mentioned about the gifts, and sometimes, and a lot of times, each of us has gifts, and it's so easy. And you see it in the family, at work, social gatherings, that people may have gifts that you envy or covet. Okay, this person may speak well. That person may communicate. He may have a gift that you envy. And in the Word, it says, you know, you should not covet thy neighbor's wife or any other things that your neighbor has. And our flesh wants that we don't have. Okay, that's just a natural tendency. And that's what God does not want us to do, correct? So how does God instruct us how we have diversity of gifts, how to use them together, how to, you know, use that for one purpose? So this is pretty much the message and the experience I've come with. And it says here again, for the profit of all. How does the gift that this person has in giving benefit the body of Christ? How does it benefit? And some of those are very evident. So one of the things I want to just go back, 6 or 7 months ago, back in October last year, Marvin, the choir director, he had retired. He was about 90-something. And it left the choir pretty much on its own. Didn't have a choir director or leader in that area. And my background is I've been involved in the children's ministry and worship and teaching the little children on Sundays, and also with the men's prayer breakfast group. I lead the worship in that once a month. So that's pretty much my background. Back in October, the men's prayer breakfast worship team was asked to do the worship for the women's Christmas luncheon in December of last year. So we said yes, and that was kind of a blessing, because Mike Zachley, who is part of the worship team, he was part of the choir, and he had asked me, hey, do you mind if we invite some of the choir people? And I said, yeah, no big deal. You know, we have, you know, Jerry here and myself. Mike is a vocalist, and we have a couple percussionists. And adding a couple more people to sing is not a big deal. So we ended up getting maybe about 3 or 4, but that grew to about 10 or 15. And the original choir was up to about, must have been around 20 or something like that. So we had maybe half of the choir were able to join us. But it was such a blessing. It produced the sound that music that I haven't heard. Because choir, the traditional choir, you just hear the vocals and piano. But we had guitar, we had acoustics, we had drums. So it was different. So it was a total blessing. So just to move on, we ended up playing and at the Christmas luncheon. But on top of that, Pastor Mark, I had met, saw him in the hall one evening, and he had asked me, well, why don't you try doing this once a month? And I said, I'll pray about it. I was kind of overwhelmed that night because I had a kind of a bad practice. I had the music, I had the words twisted. Jerry was getting on my case because I wasn't playing right. So I felt really beat up. So I was in the hall after this and went to go talk to Pastor Mark, and he said, oh, Cheyenne, I heard about what you're doing with the choir. I go, yeah, it's a blessing. And he said, why don't you do it once a month? Why don't you do that? Why don't you consider that? Well, I'm working full-time, and it's just a little overwhelming right now. And let me pray about it. So I did. And what happened was that he asked we can do the next Sunday in a couple weeks, a Sunday service. We did that. It was a total blessing because it not only included the choir, you know, since I'm part of the children's ministry, I invited the children to come up. So we had like 20 kids. So I had like a stage full of people singing, and it was really kind of cool. It was just a total blessing. And that's what God's put in my heart. This is not just a choir. This is just not a worship team. This is just not the children's ministry. You got ministries all throughout the body of Christ, just in this church. So God's telling me, why don't you bring them all together, since everybody loves to sing about Christ? And why can't the children worship with us? Why can't the old elders worship with us? Why can't the teenagers in the youth room worship with us? And it's just very, very straightforward to me. So that's what God put on my heart, and it constantly put on my heart to do that. So as we finished up the Sunday service, it was just a blessing. I can't tell you how much. Sat down afterwards, and Pastor Mark says, Cheyenne, why don't you consider doing the Good Friday service next year, which was this past April. So I did that. I said, yeah, okay. So it was funny because what God showed me, and He will show you, if you step out in faith, that little step, you know, He starts to light that path up. And it's kind of cool because that's what He did. I was kind of hesitant because if you look at me, I'm pretty ordinary. I don't have a lot of skills in a lot of areas, and Jerry will attest to that. But God can. God, I don't know, because you're there. Because I'm very visual, and I can pick on you. It's my time. Yeah, yeah. So
I'm the abrasive one that's polishing you.
Yeah, you're the sandpaper. So I'll get into that because Jerry's the lead on our band here, and it's such a cool thing because Jerry's on the other side, and I'm on kind of the quieter, softer side. But I've noticed on his worship, it's very soothing, and I love the way he does worship. So just moving fast forward, I was in Oklahoma City for training. I work for the FAA, so, and my wife finds a CD because I told her, you know what, Good Friday service, yeah, let's just make it real simple. I got this this play, character play called Touched by Christ that Marvin's been using the past couple years. So, hey, just use that. Past 2 years been great. The character's been great. It describes what Christ and the people that came around Him were touched by Him and their experiences, like, Judas, it was Pilate, Mary Magdalene, all these characters portrayed how they were touched by Christ. And they were dressed up in their formal gowns. They looked like the people back in Jesus' time. And I said, well, and I talked to my wife, what are you going to do? And I said, well, you know what? Let's just use different music, okay? And she, when I was in Oklahoma City, I remember she said, I just got the CD from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and it's on Paul Wilbur. And he has some great songs that are so worshipful that will line up with this. So I listened to it on YouTube, and I said, that's not for me. I can't sing that. I can't see the choir singing that. But, you know, when I came back 2 weeks later, I listened to the CD in my room, and I said, wow, this is powerful. This talks about Christ. This talks about the actual, like, Show Me Your Face, the song that Gabriel sang. It's such a beautiful song, such a touching song about one of the characters wanted to see Christ so much, he was crying out, it was Moses, okay? So these songs, among others, the Lord showed me what to use, and it brought us together. So my experience was bringing all these people together, and it varied from 10 to 12 year olds to a teenager, Stephanie, singing a couple songs, such a beautiful voice, and the choir, of course, and also brought the characters, about nine or 10 characters. And God brought it all together one evening on a Friday. And the blessing that I saw from that, not only from me, because if you look at the 40 people that were up here, plus the 10 that were sitting down, close to 50 people, it was only, if you look at it, it was only God that could have orchestrated all this. Because you look at me, and I, how can one person with limited experience and ability be able to orchestrate something that was so beautiful? And you had to attribute to God. So just to see what God had done, and how you ask the question, how did he do that? How did he orchestrate something so you take so many ordinary people and put it together, you get chaos, right? You know, and so many times you can see that, because you can try to put people together, you get strong personalities, and you get people that want to do it this way. And so anyways, what came down to it was we had several different worship leaders. Wednesday nights, Joyful Life, got Jerry on Sundays, have me, and usually you get a bunch of leaders together and you, hey, this is not the way you do it. This song's here. Wow, this is the way we do it. So, you know, and it's just something that we had to work out. And I'll show you some scripture that the Lord showed me that drove us together as one, okay? But, you know, some of the things we had to do is that, you know, I have here, the scripture says, how did the Holy Spirit work all things out? First off, prayer. Prayer at the very beginning. That's our greatest tool as a believer. And it's not new, okay? It's not new to pray, but to pray fervently, okay, to pray unceasingly, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, that's what I was doing. That's what other people were doing on this day, behind the scenes, okay? And people say, oh, I'll just pray and take it lightly. No. If you want something to happen, you got to believe in your heart that God's going to do it. And prayer is something that, you know, it's talking to God. It's talking to God just like I'm talking to you. God, I'm just a dummy. I know nothing. I don't have the experience. Help me, Lord, to direct my steps, to direct, say the right things to these people so they can do the job that you want them to do. Encourage them. Help me encourage them. Help them lead them, Lord, to use their gifts in the right way. So it's prayer that is the utmost important thing here that will help anything, any situation. In this case, it was the key, it was cornerstone that we did pray. All right, and one of the verses after, I had this several bad practices. I shouldn't say that. It's just not all practices go good. Some of them just don't go good. It's just like new songs. Oh, that sounded terrible. But one of the things that, one of the verses here, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 and 25. And what I want to make a point is how the Spirit works things out. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's verses 24, 25. Okay, so I'm there now. And it says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, yeah, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So actually, my wife gave that to me because I had a bad day, and I'm going to pick up Jerry again because he was giving me a hard time that night. And I had a disagreement on how loud he was going on his volume, how we played the song, and I was getting a little impatient. And my wife, you know, rebuked me. I said, you know what? If you're going to be teaching, you're going to be leading anything, you should be able to do this in just what it says here. Be gentle to all, able to teach, be patient, all right? In humility, correcting those in opposition. Now, every situation is different, but that's what the Lord had asked me to do. So I can't get angry. I have to listen to every one of these guys. I may not take their input, but I, as in any type of decision making I make in at work or even at home, I make a decision. It may not be popular. Popular may not, you may go against it, but sometimes I have to go this way. And I will listen. That's one thing. You have to listen to that person. You have to take their input. So I'm willing to do that always. My final decision sometimes may go opposite, but that's what the Lord's given me. And that's what the Lord puts in leaders, okay? you make a decision, you go that way, and you track, okay? So anyways, another thing, how the Spirit works things through and through, okay, with all these diversities is dying to yourself. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. So chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself." In a sense, it's dying to yourself, okay? It's saying that, you know, okay, Jared, that sounds good, or Marty, yeah, you're right, you know, we should sing this twice, you know, it sounds better that way. Or in many cases, I'll just give you an example. Kathy, who's a worship leader on Wednesday nights, okay, her style of music is different, okay? She's very worshipful. She has a lot of volume, okay? And I asked her to, okay, sing with us in the choir. So when she did, it was like, wow, you know, choir is supposed to, you're supposed to be, you know, singing in unison, blending. Well, Kathy was like, wow, a couple notches above the choir. And I remember in April, that Good Friday service, that we're practicing, and she didn't come to practice for a couple weeks, and she shows up, and she's singing, and it's just irritating a bunch of choir people, and some of them wouldn't even get up and sing. So I was told about it. I was going, oh my gosh, you know, this is the night of the service, and we're supposed to, you know, be singing together. So I really prayed about it then. After we prayed in the fellowship hall, before we came back in, what happened was I talked to Kathy, and I said, hey, Kathy, can you just blend and just quiet down? Because it just doesn't, you know, some of the choir members are getting a little upset. So she said, oh, yeah, no problem. So that's just one area of dying to yourself. You mean I have to quiet down? I've got a beautiful voice. I've got to show it off here. You know, I've got to do this. You know, how am I going to stand out? Well, again, it's not about me. It's not about how well I sing. It's how I fit in and produce this sound that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do my part in the body, okay? I'm supposed to do this part in the body. I've got this gift. I do this part, okay? This is what the Spirit does. And what the Word says is you die to yourself, okay? It says here again, and with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than the other. When you do something and you hold back what you normally like to do, you're regarding that person or that group more important than yourself. And it just not applies to church. It applies to any other function at work. You have to do what your boss says. You have to do, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're working with a peer, and he's the same level that you are, and sometimes your ideas obviously are better because they are, but because you want to keep the peace or some whatever the reason is, you say, well, okay, have it your way. We'll just do it your way. Just keep the peace, and we'll just go forward from there. So basically, that's one of the verses that spoke to me in Philippians 2:3. The other person, Jerry's on my list. I gotta get to Jerry here, Jerry. And he's electric guitar, and he plays some great, you know, licks and everything. He does a marvelous job. He plays classical, and one of the things I remember is that, hey, your volume's too loud, you know, and it kept on going back and forth. And I never said this to him, but, Jerry comes from way back in the 70s. He's about my age, and he plays that old rock. He plays a lot of rock and roll back then, and he's used that talent to for worship now. And one of the things that was going through my mind was that, you know, and I didn't say it to him, I go, gosh, Jerry, this isn't, you know, Van Halen Born Again, or this isn't Jimi Hendrix Resurrection concert, you know, this is a choir, C-H-O-I-R, choir, you know. And, you know, I was thinking, but, you know, Jerry, you know, when it came to Good Friday service and the other services, it was just like, wow, he just, blended right in. It sounded beautiful. I mean, that's what I call, you know, dying to yourself. I mean, you know, we bump heads, yeah, everybody does. We disagree on certain things. But when it comes down to actually doing what we're doing, you know, I saw a perfect example. Another person, Jessica, beautiful voice, okay, with our choir. She does worship within the youth group, and she played last a couple Sundays ago. And how many people remember her up on the stage? Well, she was. Okay. Did you hear her sing?
Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Good Friday, she was mic'd up and she's playing keyboards. And she plays, she's just learning keyboards. It's beautiful. And you know what? Good Friday service, she wasn't featured. She was in the back. And she was mainly playing the keyboards, which we needed the keyboards. And could she sing? Heck yeah, she could sing. But as a whole, she was willing to die to herself. She knew that the one purpose is to glorify our God, our Lord and Savior. So if we keep in mind what our purpose is, you know, it makes it a lot easier to back off and do what the Lord asks us to. We're part of the body, a different function within the body, and it's just not in worship; it's all in other things. Okay, what I also wanted to bring up is that one of the things that I like to watch is basketball. And a few months ago, when I get this, actually a couple weeks ago, the two teams that were in the finals, Dallas Mavericks and also the Miami Heat, all right, two great teams. And you know, I was rooting for the Miami Heat. You know, they had LeBron James and they've got Dwayne Wade, and someone saying no, 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 and they got Chris Bosh. Well, they got three great players, right? Three great players, and you figure, yeah, you know, that's a team to win, right? And then you got Dallas, and that beat the Portland Trailblazers, swept the Lakers, took on Thunder, and got to the finals. So what made the difference? Why did the Dallas Mavericks win? And you think about it, I thought about it, this is my take, is that, yeah, you have three superstars on a team of five, okay, you got your second string, but you got the Dallas Mavericks, who has, you know, you have Dirk, Chandler, maybe some, and these people here had three other superstars. But what I believe is that as a team, okay, each one was able to do their function, okay, and they were not, you know, they weren't, you know, Dirk was shooting, but he's known for his unselfishness, to give the ball to their player, okay. In the same way, I believe, you know, this team won because they were a complete, effective team. They were able to work as a team and use their gifts appropriately. I'm not saying, I can't say that for the Miami Heat, same way, because they had three. Did they share the ball? Were they all working effectively as a team? So I bring this back to dying to yourself again and able to work as a body in Christ. Because if we don't work together as a body of Christ, then we're not as effective as a church. So that's pretty much the message I was saying. So let's go to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What I want to comment here is that let's go to verse 31. Before we read that verse, I want to just mention something that that our gifts should be received with thanks and used in response with responsibility. So, if you don't know what your gift is, you know, just pray what God wants you. You know, ask God, what is my gift? Okay, is it encouraging people? Is it giving? Is it ministering? Is it teaching? You know, if you don't know what that gift is, pray. Pray that God would reveal that to you. Okay, the second thing is, if God's giving you a gift, ask Him where do you want me to use that gift? Okay, use it responsibly. Because you can have a gift of singing and just use it for something else worldly. I really believe that God's given you a gift. He wants you to use that gift responsibly, you know. Use it within the church body or something else. If it's a youth group, or a young adult. You know, use it within a body that will glorify God. And another thing is, in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, it talks about, at the very end, verse 31, it says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." I mean, we're already talking about gifts, but Paul's telling us there's a more excellent gift. What's that gift? And it says here, the ultimate gift, and we'll jump over to chapter 13, is the gift of love. And let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. And it says here, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." And it goes on, "To have all other gifts and lack love is to have nothing." That's not in the scripture, but it's just a summary of what I believe Paul is trying to say. To lack all other gifts, like the gifts we just mentioned, but to have love as a gift is to have everything. All gifts should be given in spirit of love, And if you go to go to the end of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And it says now here, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And going over to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts." So then, love is what really binds all these gifts together, because it really, if you think about it, you know, love, the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, it would really bring all this together. If you think about any type of ministry, what's going to make successful? It's going to have to be something that you're going to really have to die to yourself. It's going to direct you in what areas need to be focused on. In the choir sense, it was dying to yourself, being able to receive that person's comments, being able to listen at least, being able to take other people's criticism, not personally, but take it in a constructive way. And being able to encourage someone that, hey, okay, you need to do this in a loving way. So love, through all the gifts that you see within the body, in the workplace, within your family, love drives this common bond of gifts all that brings one purpose in mind, which is to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things that I myself am struggling with, and I continue to struggle, it's in being impatient, okay? We just had one choir member that joined us maybe a month ago, and during rehearsal, I remember him not getting the timing right. And then Jerry and I talked about, hey, what do you think? You know, should we, you know, how should we use this guy? How should we train him up? And I mentioned, well, maybe, you know, we all have to die to ourselves. And Jerry mentioned, well, this guy doesn't have to die. I'll just kill him. So he'll end it sooner. So I go, man, that's a little too drastic. A little too drastic, Jerry. Pull back a little bit. So I'm just joking. Okay, you can laugh a little bit. So anyways, it's just some of the things that we have to, each group, each situation you're in is a little different. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, back to chapter 13, verse 4. What is love? Okay, we talk about love all the time. What's the definition of love in the Bible? And it really sums it up here. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So you know, God really knows what he's doing. When he said, you know, love is the greatest gift, and how do you bring diversity among groups, among people into one? Okay. I really believe God uses the Holy Spirit through love, the greatest gift, to bind us together as one. I just want to mention before we end here, I got this one email from my ex-manager. He sends out emails to try to encourage us as workers. And this one is written by Mary Kay Ash. She's the one lady that passed away back in, I think, early 2000. She established the Mary Kay product line for makeup. And one of the verses she mentioned in this email was, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is extraordinary determination. Okay, I'm determined to do this. I got the will to do this. I can do this because I got the will. It's me. That's the world. And she's very successful. Developed a multi-million-dollar makeup line. But you know what? As a believer in Christ, as someone that walks by faith, not by sight, I said, well, how would I reward that if I had to speak to a brother to encourage him, or speak to a church body? I said, well, I would reword it like this. The difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is the extraordinary love for each other that is a gift from God. You know, and I really believe that's true. And these gifts from the Holy Spirit, all right, are for the good of the church. It's meant to build up the church. All right, church is not just in here. Church is at home, with your family, with your brother or sister, with your friends. Okay, and the gifts must be exercised. It's got to be exercised, because if you don't exercise it, then it's like, you know, you're robbing God of what he blessed you with. You know, he blessed you with caring for some brother that's down, all right, that's taking drugs or doing something. Are you going to step out and help that guy? Or that person that's on the corner? You know, I struggle with that. You going to help that person today? Mike Zeckley in the men's prayer breakfast talked about a salesman that came to his house yesterday, and he struggled because he just came home, and he was just tired, and he just wanted to have dinner with his wife. And a salesman knocks on the door, and he was so blessed that he did. Because you know what? God asked him to open that door that door that evening to minister to this believer that just lost his child in a car accident, killed by a drunk driver. And so that type of stepping out in faith to use the gift that Mike had, exhortation, gift of love, all right, that took a lot. That took dying to yourself. You know, you're tired, right? Typical. You're tired. You want to go to bed. You want to just get rested. It took love and just the Spirit of God to open that door to talk to this person, to encourage him. So the last verse I'm going to share with you is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go there. In this again, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 4, it talks about walking in unity. And it says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So let's just go ahead and pray. So Father, we thank you for this word, Father, and we pray, Father, that it would speak to us deeply, embedded in our hearts and minds. That, Lord, that the gifts that you give us, Father, that you would reveal it to us, Father, you direct us how to use it. And above all, use the gift of love, Father, that binds us together as one, in one purpose. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.